Podcast Audio Chat. To connect to our always-on and always-streaming audio chat, go to audiochat.fakeologist.com. This is a new and exciting way to communicate with fellow fakeologists around the globe. Each day we compress and post the day's audio into a file that can be big or small. Discover new voices and ideas that talk about media fakery like you never did before. To listen to the live stream, go to s3.fakeologist.com. Now, on with the audio chat.
One day before the 11-7, something's going to happen, I reckon. Something's going to happen. And I'm here with Rollo. He's been out of action for a couple of weeks, but he's back. And Johnny's List.
G'day.
How are you, man?
The best.
With Rollo, where are you? Where are you muted?
Oh, here I am. How you doing, here brother?
Right, well, so Marcus Allen just left the chat straight away.
Oh, did he?
No. I'm joking. But yeah, no, good to hear your excitable tones, Mr. Rollo.
Dulcet tone?
Yeah. Dulcet, you're excited.
Yes, we have. We've introduced Johnny's List.
And Ab's here as well. Amazing fakeologist.com. Anyway, so we're in our third week
extended,
of lockdown.
Extended
lockdown. And I haven't been locked down. I've been zooming around, in and out, watching, looking, observing. I do think it's a in-your-mind lockdown, though, for a lot of people, because, you know, you get around and there's cars going everywhere and up and down the coast where I supposedly aren't, you know, you're meant to be all locked in your house. It hasn't stopped me. And because I'm an essential worker, I consider myself extremely essential. I'm a very essential person. And Rollo's spotting, everywhere's mask city, and there's no two ways about that. Although, to me,
really going hard on the QR code things now.
My God.
Gladys has gone nuts with the way she's pumping the fear. Me and Johnny were talking about it before. It's just amazing Carl Stefanovic and, David Koshy, how they're pushing the fear. And Johnny, you were saying you think some of them are actors
I was at a job, and the guy at the Talkback Radio guy. And I don't listen to it, so I never hear this stuff. And for about 2 hours, I had to listen to this AM talkback radio, and just the intensity of it was just out of control. But I'm listening to some of these callers, and I'm going, you know how you can just tell? You can just tell between a genuine sort of caller and something that sounds scripted or whatever.
I have been for many, many years, able to pick a bullshit artist. That's why I've never been into politics and never been able to vote, because they all are bullshit artists. And you can hear it in their voices.
Yeah.
And now you've got your talkback show. I used to get annoyed with John Law's show back in the day when my father used to play it when I was working for him, outside doing bricklaying or fencing or whatever. He loved John Law, as like Rollo did. Does.
Tell us what's on your mind. Rick, are you there?
Yes, I am. And you'd hear these people, like, on a particular, when I wanted to push something, you'd hear, "G'day, John, I don't think, it's a good thing that, if this was today, this is how it'd go, I think that these small businesses need to have their QR codes checked more often because, I watched a bloke go."
And that straight away, that's a great idea, and... So they use media.
That's what these scripted calls were doing. People were like ringing in, going off like that. That people should be doing this, and people should be doing that.
Sadly, though, I unfortunately think that a lot of them are probably real, because that's the kind of thing I'm hearing. I'm an eavesdropper on conversations, I walk around. I get around a lot. I'm all over the place. And I was in a supermarket the other day, and I was listening to someone, I've just had the first one, I'm getting the second one soon. I think it's terrible. That Gladys, she's been too wishy-washy. She needs to get stronger. And this is some old bat in the fucking supermarket.
Yeah.
And that's what they like, these people, because they believe that there's a pandemic that's killing people.
Yeah.
Notice there's no one died or reported died from this one yet. It's like just case Cases.
It's a case-demic. It's a scandemic, but it's turned into a case-demic where, 44 more new cases. Lock it all down.
Yeah. Lock it in. Lock it in. It's like a game show, isn't it? Lock it in, Eddie. We're in a giant game show, and some of us are aware of it. And when I say some of us, not very many. Isn't it difficult to negotiate life now? When you just are surrounded by brainwashed, gibbering imbeciles.
Oh, yes. Oh, yeah. Because I'm trying to get my doctor, because I've got the court release papers that I'm going to read here tonight.
Oh, we'll talk about that. How about?
Before we get to that, Rick, I've had a death in the family I'd like to mention, and
my
lovely budgie Tweety of 12 years old passed away during the week.
Tweety dropped off the perch.
He's an ex-parrot.
Did you use the great big book you can get on how to kill your parrots that you can evidently hit them over the head with a book, or you shoot them in between the beak and eyes?
Okay.
Apparently, so that's Monty Python.
Well, look, he's currently in the freezer, and we're going to go and bury him next weekend because it was too rainy today to get out.
Well, Rollo, I'm glad I didn't come and visit you because I'm one of those night eaters. I probably would have come out in the middle of the night and eaten them.
Good on you, man. So rest in peace, Tweety. And we also lost someone else that was very dear, not near and dear to me, but I love the man. Richard Donner, the guy that created Superman. He died this week. He was 92 years old. And I don't know if you...
Wasn't he the guy that did Mad Max,
Lethal
Weapon, yeah.
Yeah, with Mel Gibson
and
Danny Glover, yeah.
Wasn't he one of the rumoured directors of 9-1-1? There's a number of people I reckon were in on it, but I'm
not sure
Richard Donner was one. Yeah.
Not a bad director. He got his start on a show called Banana Splits, and it was called Danger Island.
What a show! Oh yeah, that was. But would you believe it?
He also did The Goonies. So rest in peace, Richard Donner, 92.
Oh, then he was Matt. Well, I don't say rest in peace because if Goonies was full of predictive programming and all sorts of weird stuff, Lethal Weapon had a bit of insider stuff on the... So Mel Gibson was playing
mentally ill.
Yeah, and they bring up there's a lot of inside.
The second and third one were almost better than the first one. The first one was too serious, whereas they turned it more into comedy after that.
I'm too old for this shit.
The third one had what's his name, Joe Pesci in it, and he was funny.
Yep.
It's all fuck in it. Oh, it was really good. Yeah, the third one. Anyway,
They
were too old. They're all too old.
Sorry, okay, Rollo, shush. Am I too loud? I mean, that's my problem in real life. Are you sure? Because I come booming over the top of people at the moment with this new cheap.
No, it sounds fine. You always used to be a bit on the faint side. Now it's good.
Well, I've got a problem. But you know me, if you know me in real life, you would not say that. You'd say, Jesus, Rick, Like my son says to me when I'm driving, and he's got a booming loud voice as well. He's a mini me. And he goes, Dad, you're shouting, because I tend to get it, talk louder than the other person to get my, to interject and cut in. And I've got a problem. I admit it.
Maybe it's a New Zealand thing. Mike's missus was like that. Just couldn't shut up.
You're listening to Rick Rollo and Johnny's List.
Would you like to support Fakeologist.com and all the content
we're
creating?
Yes.
We operate on the
value
for value principle, where you pay whatever you can for whatever value you feel you've received. We accept donations in almost every form, from PayPal to Bitcoin. Please go to Fakeologist.com/donate for your payment options. Thank you for your support.
Money. You're welcome. It's Saturday the 10th of July, 2021. You're here with Rick and Rollo.
Hey!
And,
Rollo. Here we go. Introduce him, Rollo.
G'day,
Introduce him.
We have Ab from Fakeologist.com, and this is the Fakeologist audio chat, and we haven't spoken in a couple of weeks, Ab. How you doing? How's your week?
I'm well. Welcome back to the audio chat show.
Mm-hmm.
Good to hear from you. How you
Thank
been?
You. Not too bad. We had a death in the family. We lost our bed, but I'm released from prison. I'm on a conditional release. I've got the paperwork in front of me, which I'll read out for you guys tonight. Yeah. So yeah.
Oh, dear.
So
you're allowed to do audio chat.
It's been the judge, Mrs. Lacey, or Mark Latham's wife, said yeah, you're released. I mean, dismissed. Sorry, dismissed is the word I'm trying to think of. But it's conditional, so I've got to do a couple of things, so I'll read them tonight. Okay.
What do you have to do? Backflips? Go on the John Law Show? Anything exciting like that?
Stand on one leg, scratch his head, and
I have to go and see some drug and alcohol counselling, and they say that I'm mental.
Thing. Yeah. Good man. So let's tell us all about the court date. What happened?
So basically, we're all masked up like retards, and I was in there for 2 hours, and she goes, "All right, now anyone who's representing themselves," and I go, and I put my hand up, and she goes, "All right, you up?" And she goes, "Oh yeah, I remember you with the purple." She remembered me from my purple suit, you know, my Joker suit. So she kind of went, "What's going on? Here's the paperwork," and she reads it and goes, "Yep, I think you meet the Section 32 requirements." The case is dismissed. Yeah, so she just
should be Section 33. Section
33.
32
it was.
32. Yeah. Okay, near enough.
Well, you're not explaining. Yeah, well, you're not explaining what a 32 is for us lay people.
Okay, so a Section 32 means that you don't have to plead guilty or not guilty, but the case is dismissed because you weren't of sound mind when you did the offence, which is ringing the COVID-19 hotline 55 times asking difficult questions. So he said, was this day was charged before me is undersigned one of her Majesty's magistrates at the local court at Newcastle in the state of New South Wales. So it appears to me that the accused person is cognitively impaired, is suffering from mental illness, and is suffering from a mental condition for which treatment is available in a hospital, but is not a mentally ill person within the meaning of Chapter 3 of the Mental Act.
That's good. Yeah. That's a good thing, Roller. Yeah, because otherwise I could have just said, he's completely mad, he needs to be locked up.
Oh, yeah, locked up, one flew over the cuckoo's nest. And, okay, so this is the second part, on an outline, the facts alleged in the proceeding or such other evidence as I consider relevant, it would be more appropriate to deal with the accused person in accordance with the provisions of Part 3 of the Mental Health Act, Forensic Provisions 1990, which then other accordance with the law. So, you know, it's no guilty or not guilty. So they're just saying I'm mental. I'm a head case, and that's...
Well, we all agree.
So,
we agree with that one.
All I have to do is go and see drug and alcohol counselling and what's the other thing?
You didn't get a chance to ask if they've isolated the virus. That's what I was hoping for.
You didn't get to ask if Mark's still working for Rebel Media?
No, I didn't. Get any. I opened my mouth and she said, "Shut up," basically. It's like Ab in the old days. Shut up. Let me talk. The second.
Well, congratulations. Congratulations, Rollo. It was a good result.
It only cost me $2,200.
Well, let's forget about it, man. At the end of the day...
Spend that much in a week on whiskey
cigarettes and alcohol over 2 weeks, probably a couple of grand.
Yeah, it's all good. Yeah. It's all good. I'm a free man, so I'm very happy.
And you're not a number.
Did you make those 55 calls all on the same day, or...?
No, it was 150.
The same week.
Actually,
the week that Christy let me have.
It was actually 134.
Yeah, it was.
But how did they know you were of sound mind on every one of the calls? Did they check every call, or it was...
I wasn't.
I'm just wondering.
I was asking pertinent questions about Klaus Schwab, Anthony Fauci, and Bill Gates, Kill Gates. I was asking pertinent questions, but there you go. They consider them wrong.
Awesome.
See, isn't this amazing? They can shut you down. You can't really protest these sort of things because if you had gone a little bit further than that, they could have court ordered, locked you up for psychiatric problems. Plenty of ways of shutting you down if you're talking too much.
Yeah. Hey, Johnny, how you been? We haven't heard from you in a couple of weeks. We were worried about you.
Oh, yeah. No, I'm all right. I had my daughter up. I had her boyfriend up last weekend, so only for a couple of nights, so. I don't see him that often.
How do you deal with that? I was actually quite pleasant to my daughter's ex-boyfriend. I was cordial and wasn't threatening like I could have been back in the day. But they split up, which is a good thing.
She's been with one for about 4 or 5 years since high school, and I wasn't a fan of that guy and that. And to her credit, she sort of cut it apart, but then she ended up meeting this other guy, and he's quite a good bloke. So I'm quite.
That's good.
He's good. He's just.
I couldn't believe how cordial I was when I first met the guy. I was like, "You filthy, filthy, dirty." But no, I was like, and he seemed.
You were
really
thinking
good
of yourself at that age. That's the problem.
Yeah. Oh, look, come on. I mean, look. Exactly. That's why I'm very forgiving. Person, I think.
Yeah.
Kind of. And I was. Yeah. I thought he was a really nice guy because he wanted to buy a house. And she was upset with him for not wanting to go traveling, and he just wanted to get and buy property and make a name and become a manager of a and make money. And I thought, man, that's fantastic. And she left him over the fact that he didn't want to be, go off traveling and give.
Therein lies a lot of the problem with that, because that is inherent with men. They want
to.
Buy a house and everything, and it makes them look more appealing to women. They're not just doing it for that, but it's sort of kind of genetically inbuilt, whereas a lot of people have been propagandized.
Whatever you do.
It's all about the fun. It's all about the fun.
Yeah. At least he didn't say, I want to own nothing and be happy. That would have been sad.
I would have thrown him out of the cafe there and then, but
he said, I love Klaus Schwab. Achtung, baby.
Schwab. Yeah, Achtung, baby, yeah.
Hail Klaus. Hail Schwab.
Isn't it just amazing how he's so over the top? Like, he's just like Henry Kissinger, his protege. He was a protege of him, of course.
Yeah.
But the way that he talks like this, we need to get rid of all of this and
the
this
bond,
and this.
Yeah, that's very good, Rick. That is very good.
It's not just an accent. They've got this growl in their voice,
deep
down inside. Yeah,
I want to remove cats. I don't like cats. They make funny purring noises. I want to have them all.
Hey, Rick, I don't want you to live, Mr. Rick. I just want you to die.
I want you to
die. No, Rick's is way better. Rick's
that
is way
video,
better.
That video I posted a while back, that 1976 ABC TV news article thing about had the guy from the Club of Rome in it and the computer model. I'll find the link and repost it. But the Club of Rome the Club of Rome guy talked exactly the same. He had exactly the same sort of deep growl.
It's a stereotypical. If you go back to Stanley Kubrick's movie, How I Stopped Worrying It to Learn to Love the Bomb, Dr. Strangelove. Strangelove. The bad guy in that had the same exact accent, and they said that he's copying off Henry Kissinger, because Kissinger has this accent.
Was played by, who was that?
Same.
The guy out of Halloween, what's his name?
Donald Pleasance.
Donald Pleasance, that's it, you got it, man.
Yeah.
Do you want me to go to the blog? I'll go to the blog.
We'll do that in a minute, but so Johnny had his 2 weeks. He has 2 weeks. You've been disappeared, I believe.
2 weeks. Yeah.
So how are things in South Australia? That's what I want to know. Freedom there.
Oh yeah, pretty much. It's different. Well, I talk to my daughters in Adelaide, and they say people wear masks everywhere and rah rah. But in Clare, where I work, it's a reasonable sized country town, a lot of people around, but nobody wears masks. Everybody's QR coding and that. Because I just watch that when I'm around. They held a press conference not last week, the week before, the last time they did that, we had our 6-day lockdown, the whole pizza bar incident and everything. So I was working with my boss, and I said, he goes, they're holding a press conference soon. I said, I'll be back in half an hour. So I went to the pub, bought a few cartons of beer, went to the supermarket, and it was already started.
Loaded up with toilet paper.
Last time it happened, I just wanted a carton of beer for and there was lineups down the road. Like, everybody was freaking out because they were going to be without alcohol for 6 days or whatever. Like, I mean, I could go without alcohol for 6 days. I don't have that problem. I just wanted a carton of beer.
No.
No, how's this? It didn't happen. The whole thing didn't happen and everything. It's just gone. Yeah. People were starting
I just went to the bottle shop. Because obviously I'm a rebel and I'm in and out of a lockdown zone and I'm in a small town, and I thought, I'm not going to go to the local shops because they'll freak out about me being here. So I went to the big supermarket. So if something went wrong, they're the ones that'll get shut down, not the little small one. And I just got a case of German beer, 3 litres of good Australian wine for $51.
Mm.
I'm telling you, it's like, that's unbelievable. It's like the German beer I got is one of the
turning Rollo on.
Oh, yeah.
Rollo just got a boner.
Yeah, but I'm not going to, I can see the future, and it's going to be, you're going to have to order online because you will not be going into these supermarkets and stuff like that without QR coding. And I refuse to do that. Refuse.
Yeah. Yeah. I've never been in the position I've had to wear a mask. A couple of months back, they did the whole, someone from the police came on television and told everybody you're going to get fined. And that is one thing I'll go to. Yep. I went to the Tominga Hotel in Clare. When I went in to buy that carton of beer, there were a couple of young people in there, and one of them was a girl, and I would have said she'd be 19, 20 and that, and totally switched on, thought the whole thing's bullshit. So did the guy who was probably about late 20s. So I ended up standing there for about 20 minutes having a conversation with them. But it was amazing because I don't meet people like that. They said, no, pretty much everybody that works here at this hotel thinks the whole thing's crap. Like, I don't know what level they're at. They hadn't heard of the Dollar Vigilante, or, you know, I try to put out people that, you know, like Dave Cullen, Dollar Vigilante. I think they're sort of good people to listen to if you're just starting to get into it. And they hadn't heard of them. So I don't know what level they're at, but they were like, the whole fine thing's crap. You know, she said, oh, that's all just bullshit. Because there's people that go around spreading rumours around the town that I live in that people are getting fined in these supermarkets and that.
They're lying.
The apprentice that I work with, his twin brother works in another store in the town, and he was saying that somebody came in and said, I just got fined $1,000, rah, rah, rah. And it's crap because it's a country town. If people were getting fined, it would spread like wildfire. And I got told that people got fined at the supermarket that I go to, and I've been in there and asked them. I said, no, nobody's been fined. So somebody's out there spreading rumours and lies. So the whole fine thing, there is no legal basis for it. So it's just a fear-based campaign. That's how they're doing it.
Today, when I got back, I went to my cafe where I've got 3 fully awake, 100%, listening to fakeologist.com people. And the guy who's doing the barista, he said to me, he goes, we had a cop come in today, and he said to his staff, he said, look, just put your masks on, you know, keep them up, because he's stood there. Apparently, they've got a camera on their chest now. He reckoned the cop was in uniform, and he just stood with his back to where the machine was and was filming everyone that was sitting down and the staff with his camera. So they are definitely coming and intimidating people, because up here, there's not enough cops. There's not enough cops to fill up a phone booth on duty on the average day. The services have been cut back so much that, you know, they're on skeleton staff, basically. But what they are doing is getting one cop to go around to every cafe and every restaurant and using his belly button camera or whatever he's got and filming just to go back and use for
everything. Belly button cam, that's a good one.
But before they brought the fine, the fake fine thing in, six, 8 weeks ago, even a month or so, a bit more than that before that, I was talking to a mate. He's got a friend who's a rep, and he drives around country South Australia from south up to north doing whatever he does. Yep. And he posted on Facebook that the cops, even before this, the cops were going around telling small businesses that if you don't get people to sign in, you'll get fined. You know, even before
they want to
recruit the businesses to do all the enforcement.
There is no fines. This is before they even tried to say that there were actual fines out there.
This is the communitarian system. It's a fine system. Yep. And one other term I learned, and you might have heard of it, it's called AMP, Administrative Municipal Penalty, I think. And it's how they're going to collect the money. It's sort of a layer on top of the judicial system somehow. It's a fine system, but that's how they control behavior, is a fine system. And it's not really criminal.
It's social credit. Isn't it social credit? Social credit system. Simple as that.
Well, Well, it's the dick part of it.
Real money. Yeah, real money.
But no fine that's ever been levied has been collected here unless you voluntarily pay it. All the tickets here in Canada have been thrown out for the most part, from what I understand.
Good, good.
Because they're like Walmart walking up to a guy and saying, you owe me $100 because you didn't do this when you came into the store. It's like them sending their own security force out.
It's a government protection record. The government.
It's not even government, though. It's not even a government. It's an agency of them.
Hi, everyone. I just wanted to say that I have to investigate that.
Yeah, huh?
But there is a definite possibility that I've been fined to the tune of around $1,000 for some COVID infraction. I'm not sure that is the case, but I received a fine of that amount, and the only thing I can recollect being fined for was breaking of COVID regulation in Geneva. So I cannot be sure about that, but there is a possibility that they are trying to fine me for that.
Did you get that in writing?
Well, I had the fine in writing. Now what I need to establish is exactly the reason of the fine, but that I don't see any other reason.
Is there a number? If you've got a number on it, there'll be a number, there'll be a case number or whatever that they call it on the fine that you'll be able to look up and see what.
Yes. Anyway, I will have to go to this office next week to negotiate pay a different payment, or I will pay like $200 a month for almost a year.
So, Ben, are you still in England with Skylarken? Are you still over there? What's going on?
No, I'm not. I have been back since Tuesday. It's terrible, but it is what it is.
Hold on. Rick and Roller.
Hi, this is John French.
This is Mizum.
Joe from Atlanta.
Joe Mama.
Gaia.
I'm Buck Cherry.
It's me.
You're listening to Fakeologist Radio at Fakeologist.com.
Indeed you are, Rick and Roller, Saturday the 10th of July 2021 with me, Rick. You, Roller?
Yes, right. Tarzan. Me, Tarzan, you're Jane.
The fakeologist himself. So yeah, so what was life like in England? Like, have you told the whole story?
Didn't really told the whole story, but it was really great. Just give me a minute.
No worries, mate. Look, I'm at the top of the blog, and it's FAC 932 Benoit and Sky. So as Purple Play, Stupid, Linda Curtis, Fast Value, Babette and Pepper. So, so I have got to listen to that.
Who's Pepper? Yeah. Who's Pepper?
I don't know. Pepper might be a new, like Angie. Who's Angie? Let's ask Ab who Angie is.
Yeah, possibly a male, and it's not a girl, and it's someone that's possibly been around there before, but I hope it isn't.
She doesn't seem very friendly to you. I mean, you've always been on the level to me, and that person, Angie, says you're not on the level. You're not to be trusted. How is that? Yeah. That's not.
Well, there's obviously it's one of those. I suggest a male in his 50s, I would say.
Yeah.
And he's too scared to use his own name. His own name. No, I don't know who it is, but I know for a fact that it's a male, not a female. And I would say if someone calling someone a coward, if they're not prepared to use their own name, because my name's Rick, Rollo is Rollo. It's our names that we identify with public, and we're brave enough to use our own names and don't use pseudonyms, and we come on the live chat. So if Angie, who's a man, wants to be show his hairy legs, which are obviously wearing a skirt and probably
a drag. Do you want me to read a couple of Angies?
I just want to reiterate, I don't go onto the Fakeologist blog, so I don't know these things. I don't look at comments stuff like that. But Rollo does.
All right, give me a second. I'll look them up.
Yeah, I've kind of missed it all as well. So.
No worries, man. Here we go. Okay, so audio chat. Here we go. Okay, the gang. Rick and Ab. Here it is. I found Rick. There's FAC 930, Rick and Ab. Okay, so let me just read. Okay, so Angie wrote this. They aren't going nowhere, in quotes. Double negative. Bad grammar. Oath taker Rick. Screenshot for future posts elsewhere. So he's posting you somewhere. Rick the ass kisser is not under any lockdown. He's taken the oath. Haven't you, Rick? baby. You liar. You coward.
That sounds like Dave J, but I am under lockdown. But of course,
here
I
we go. Another one here from Angie. Well, you got invited. Are you a retired Freemason? Rick was once a real truther, and Ab made him get on his knees to blame the Romans. I once respected Rick, but he took the oath and shit his pants. Napoleon Wilson's on your side, but Napoleon Wilson's backing you up, so you're okay.
Well, yeah. The fact that someone with the credibility of Napoleon Wilson would be credible, and the fact that Marcus Allen said something positive. Now, so there's two of the, I could consider the high level, you know, if you can please those two, I'm talking about Marcus and, what's his name?
Oh, Marcus gave you the highest.
Denny is one of the best. I'm talking about up there with the best. And if he's a nice guy and he thinks that I'm all right, then that's all I count. But Angie, who's a man dressed as in drag, pretending to be a woman, has got serious issues and needs to go and address them. And probably go and get a wax and a blow dry and get the nails done and come out as a woman instead of pretending to be one. That's my advice.
Yeah.
That's my advice.
We'll leave that alone from now. I did get a picture tonight from you, Johnny's List. Tell us about the picture you sent us about the leather case and the apron. Tell us about that.
I only got it today, my grandfather's Masonic apron and his Masonic leather satchel that it comes in with all his certificates for his first to third degree and even a little book of rituals. Like the, it's a real small little book, probably 4 inches by 3 inches. And
have you looked at any of the rituals?
No, not yet. I only got it this afternoon.
Get on the back of the goat, ride it, then stab it. Isn't it funny that Mark Zuckerberg grows his own goats, and grows his own goats, and slaughters his own goats, and he decided to call one of them Bitcoin, and he said, I can kill Bitcoin at any time on one of his weird posts.
I watched something funny with Zuckerberg the other day. He was smoking meat on his, and someone had put all him smoking meat on his barbecue. The guy is he's a freak show with his haircut and whatnot. But Rick, you wore your apron as a joke, and then some of these people were saying, come on, you're a Freemason. You're not. You just wore it as a joke.
He just plays one on TV. He just plays one on TV.
I am definitely wouldn't be getting. I don't think they'd allow me in the free fraternity by the
family. I think you'd be a good Mason.
Do you reckon? I don't know about that, but I must say that I don't consider any of these. I don't know who's running things, but all I know is that there's loads of Masonic symbolism used on, like, the Facebook logo. Yeah.
So, do you know who Angie is, who posted on your website about Rick's comments saying that he's that the fix is in with the man? Like, do you know who Angie is?
I don't bother looking up. I actually opened up the comments just so it would provoke conversation, and guess what? It's working! There's lots of people that want to leave a comment that don't want to register.
Is that on FakoTube?
That's actually on ecologist.com/blog. That's a separate system.
Oh, the blog.
And before you had to be a registered user, and I had to send you a login, and it just wasn't generating much activity, so I just put it wide open. Anyone can type anything in. And leave a comment, and we administer the comments, so if it's just some libel, then we won't post it, but there's a few of us moderating, myself, Mrs. Fakeologist, Napoleon, Benoit, but most of the stuff we just put through, unless it's really disgusting or rude.
All right. Should we go to the next blog post? Why I won't be injected with COVID. A thread by Alex Zek. Why I will not get the shot. A thread. The primary efficacy endpoint of the clinical trials was a mild symptom reduction. The shot was not shown to limit supposed, transmission or confer immunity, but only to reduce symptoms, with absolute risk reductions of 0.7% and 1.2% respectively. So why'd you post this ad? This all about?
There's quite a few really good Twitter threads, and I just grab them up and grab the text so it can be searchable in the future. And yeah, because we're overloaded with information, we actually forget the original story. And that is the original story about what these injections are supposed to be doing, which is basically nothing. They tell you that. They tell you it has nothing to do with affecting transmission if a virus was transmittable, which it's not. They tell you it won't make anyone immune, as if an immune system was a real thing in a human being. They tell you all this, but it's because we are just buried in propaganda. We have no idea, or most people don't know, the original story. And if you knew the original story, you'd never go along with it. But it's the whole point of information overload. People are just wasted with information. That's how humans work. We know how humans work.
Instead of sticking to the core argument, yeah, I agree, because they, even in the alternative media, it's just flip-flop. It's just the new things come out, so all over that. Just stick to the basic argument that the virus is fake, vaccines are bad, and, you know, we're run by a bunch of oligarchs.
Yeah. Got to keep it simple. Got to keep it simple.
Even for people that follow the narrative and everything. Just yesterday, the French Prime Minister announced, yesterday or the day before, that the third dose will be needed. So, obviously, there is no end to that. And I'm happy about that, because in the end, the more they are pushing the envelope, the more of the general population will be closed.
Well, the thing I was saying to Rick tonight was it's obvious to me, a fakeologist, it's Agenda 21, Agenda 2030, you know, it's a scamdemic, or what do they call it now, a case-demic. You know, oh my God, we've got 42 new cases today. Let's lock down Sydney for another week and tighter restrictions, Gladys Berejiklian. We know that you're in on it with Fauci and Gates and the Klaus Schwab.
Who's the Australian top hellcrat? You guys are talking. You're talking about Americans. Who's your top hellcrat? Do you have a top hellcrat?
Do we have one, Rick? I don't know. Do we, Rick?
Daniel Andrews? I don't know.
No, we. You guys. Who's on top? There must be an Australian public health.
Kerry Chant
is the health minister in New South Wales. And she is absolutely neurotic looking. I mean, the other day I sent on to fakeologist.com.
Did you say erotic or neurotic? Can you look neurotic?
Erotic. Look, Ab. Oh, no. Look, there is no politician that I would want to take my pants off anywhere near. Anywhere near. They all look fucking
not even
ugly.
To bend them over?
Bill Ruddock? Bill no. Ruddock?
Well, have you got a dog handy? Yeah. But no.
A sheep? A ram.
A ram, yeah. No, it's honestly, we've got the ugliest policy. Actually, no, I shouldn't say that, because America's got some of the most frightening looking health ministers as well. They're all ugly.
She's
married to a girl, married to a woman, a white woman of certain persuasion, and not persuasion, a certain ethnicity, and suspicious. That's them. And you know, honestly, would you trust any of these people to sell you a car? And I always use my basis of logic is, would you let that person babysit your child? And you'd have a resounding no from anyone. I can't find any politician I trust. Any of them.
I was just wondering if you had a whole layer of hell authority. I call health, because that's what we have in Canada. They literally overlaid hell crap bureaucracy
Yes, of course we do.
They call them top doctors here. It drives me crazy. They're not even real doctors. But they call them the top doctor. No, they're the bottom doctor, and they're bottom feeders. They're not even doctors. They're health bureau rats.
How many of the World Health Organization directors are medically trained out of 36, or I guess? Under half. 16 are actually doctors. The rest are bureaucrats. So you're getting your health information
through social engineers, behavioral scientists. That's what they are.
Oh, yeah. That's exactly right.
They don't have... none of this has anything to do with medical, even though I don't really have a lot of respect for allopathic medicine, but... These guys are just bureau rats.
Yeah, yeah. Mm-hmm. They're designed to drive you crazy. I remember the song Fine Young Cannibals. She drives me crazy. Yeah, I know. I swear to God.
Whatever happened to them? Whatever happened to them?
Roland Gift and the Fine Young Cannibals.
Well, cannibal, doesn't the word cannibal come from Canaan and Baal? Like cannibal? Like,
yeah. There's
yeah,
a name there.
Roland Gift.
What a great name. Whatever happened to him?
Okay, next blog post. Only the quaccinated died. So some things never changed. The truth in the 1980s. So you're going back to the Spanish flu here, Rab, on Fake A Tube.
Yeah, it was
fantastic.
Did you?
I watched it.
There's a little bit of disinfo in there. They go in on about shedding, which I don't believe in. But overall, I thought it was good enough to post.
Yeah.
There was enough truth in it. The Spanish flu had nothing to do with the flu or Spain, which I thought was
Do you understand why they named it the Spanish flu?
Something Spain didn't do something, I think.
They didn't want any part of the First World War.
All right.
They didn't get, and they remained neutral in the First World War. So mysteriously, and you can bring in George Orwell here because he went over as a alleged and joined the forces of the socialist forces. They created a war and knocked Spain in half and did the divide and conquer thing after they'd refused to become involved with World War One, which is obviously a big operation, as we all know here.
Yes. Yeah, okay, yeah. It's basically the people that died are the ones who got injected. That's the bottom line of that video. Get injected,
die. I reread Simon Chuck. A comment that you posted last time with Dog Dog.
Someone's getting attacked by a parrot.
it's not my parrot. Mine's the next parrot. Okay. But Simon Schacht, I just know that in a couple of years, you know, when all the vaccines, people are going to start dying left, right, and center. And I'm sure Simon's right with this. You know how it's just a total awful scam.
I shared that incredible post by a Franciscan monk, I think he was. And he just reads it. He said, "What he says? He goes, in 2 years' time, there's going to be a mass extinction. And he goes, you need to work out. You need to be strong. He goes, people are going to blame God. They're going to blame everyone for this thing. But it's basically the vaccination that's caused it. And he said it was doom. Doom of the highest level. Have you seen it yet?
Right up your alley, Eric.
No, I haven't.
Doom porn.
No, I believe it's going to happen.
If you go by, and this might be a simplistic view, but if you go by the TV series over the last 5-10 years, it's all pandemic and it's the zombie thing. The world goes into a total apocalypse. And I'm not saying it's going to go all around the world, but they could quite easily manufacture this sort of world.
I think they're going to take out a large, like 2 billion people, and they're going to blame the unvaccinated on that mass extinction thing. And that's where all these internment camps are going to get set up, I do believe. I'm sad to say, but...
I've got a question, guys. Now, if I pack up, you know, I sell the house and I pack up and I move to... Is North Korea... Is the COVID-19 hit North Korea? Do we know?
No, I think North Korea is a CIA-created bogeyman.
Yeah.
I don't believe that.
Yeah, Sam can totally agree.
I'm just thinking of moving there and being Kim Jong-un's spokesperson for the West.
You'd last about 2 minutes with Kim, I'd say.
Kim's court jester. You might be right.
Are you purple
actually,
seat?
Actually,
yeah,
you're right, Rollo.
Thank you, Johnny.
I'd have Rollo as my court jester if I was a king.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah. But Kim Jong-un is a fight.
The whole Kim Jong thing, the US could take out, like, North Korea before lunchtime in one day. Like, you know, it's just ridiculous.
1 minute, they'd knock him out, yeah. What about their fake rockets?
But it goes back to the whole nuclear weapon bullshit,
they were used, the North Korea PSYOP to create... fear in Japan and fear in...
Yeah.
You're listening.
Fear in the...
Adam.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Didn't you explain the Painted Black song to us before, Rick?
Yes, I did. In China, after they had their Great Revolution, they were a very artistic country, and they made all this beautiful wood paneling and beautiful colours and all that, and they had to paint it all black. And so I saw... And so there was a furniture import business up the road from me, and I saw this beautiful stuff, and they said they were bringing it in from China, stripping the first layer of black off, and underneath it was this incredible, beautiful colours.
Oh, nice.
Like that. And that was part of the Chinese... takedown.
And that's what that song's about.
I think so. Another Tavistock organization, Rolling Stones, totally.
Yeah.
One of my favorite
songs
to run that down.
Yeah.
I can do that anytime. But yeah, that
you should do a Tavistock special.
I could.
What Mick Jagger went to
London School of Economics. Yeah, graduate. Yeah. And he's also a mountaineer and a champion rower, just like Alistair Crowley.
Yeah.
Alistair Crowley.
I get an idea that I want to run by you. Because as everyone knows, I'm medically unfit to be vaccinated. And I saw yesterday in the newspaper that they were mentioning the non-vaccinated people as being a problem, and
I have to be
restricted. So my angle, I'm thinking about it really, and maybe I will put this project to life, is to create an association of people that are like me, medically unfit, to get vaccinated and try to run that angle.
You've got to try that, Ben, and have a go, you know, starting some organisation. I'm off to a protest thing tomorrow morning in local area. And apparently last week there was 45 people, and you have to dress with a piece of yellow, and you meet in a park, and everyone needs to each week bring another person to the meeting. And so I'm going there tomorrow. No coward. I'm no coward. That's what you got to do. Yes, it is. Yes, it is.
Yeah.
At Rotary Park. That's a kind of semi-masonic group.
I was going to say, you should wear your apron. Anyway.
Can I just add that my brother bought me this apron for a joke, because I've always wanted to be known about Masons.
Yep.
He got one online, and when he came over from New Zealand, gave it to me for my birthday. Well, 3 months after he brought that to me, I had the worst accident in Vanuatu, where I ripped all the tendons off my knee, and then he got divorced about a week later. Like, we had terrible bad luck just after he brought that apron.
Magic apron?
Could there be?
You should have borrowed some magic underpants from the Mormons. That might help.
I can get that. Well, how about the whole set? Get magic underpants from the Mormons, a magic apron from the Masons,
an apron,
and a Jesuit rosary beads from the Jesuits, and then rosary beads. That's my new business.
I don't know the magic underpants.
That's the Mormons, and that's a fact.
They have to wear them all the time.
But what do they do?
And the Mormons are an offshoot of the Masons. They'll protect you from sexual improprieties, I guess.
Oh.
I don't know.
I don't know, but they
protect you. I don't
know.
They're like
long underwear, and I don't think Australians know long underwear.
We wear almost
two strings. I don't know any underwear.
Wow. Commando.
We live in a country, you can sleep with no clothes on. You can sleep every night with no clothes on, no problem whatsoever. If you've got a attractive woman, or if you're in that way inclined, someone else in your room with you, you don't need to drip. You can rip your pants off, go to bed, no problem. So you're not going to freeze to death in this country. No problem.
Wow.
I listened to your Uncle Vigilante with Marcus Allen today, and I thought that was really good. You posted it, I believe. It's the one about Bitcoin.
Where was that?
On FakoTube. And
was that an old one or a new one?
It would only been a week or so. Whenever you last interviewed Marcus, apparently Uncle Odd
listened to it, and he got him on for a chat about marketing, which is, I love, I'm a big fan on that subject.
So who was it?
I didn't hear that one.
Uncle Odd and
Marcus,
our old mate,
Marcus
Jeff Berwick from Chatting Together, was it?
No,
it was
Marcus and Todd discussing.
They were just one-on-one?
Yes, and apparently Todd lost a lot of money on crypto, and they're discussing the marketing techniques that fooled Uncle Odd. Yeah, I got it on your site, Ab, so that's where I heard it. And it's very good.
Yeah, maybe, okay.
I love discussing marketing. You shared
it. Okay, I must have missed it.
In the live stream notes, I posted that 1973, it's not 76, 73, ABC Australian News Club of Rome thing. I was just thinking it might be a good thing to go to. But they used a computer model in 1973. It's hilarious to watch. It's like a typewriter, basically. And this thing's printing out this piece of paper, and it's predicting world's going to be like in 2020. Like,
wow.
And
oh, neat.
Club. So, yeah, it's about 10 minutes, like, but it's, yeah, definitely.
Is that on YouTube?
Yeah YouTube. And I posted the BitChute link, but it's on YouTube as well.
Oh, could we play it in the stream now?
We could do it.
Do it.
I remember how to do it.
You can do it.
Oh, you remember. Just type play in the bot command, right, and then space the URL, the link.
Yeah. And then we'll go to the next blog post, which is train more coroners.
Thank you, Rolls Royce.
No worries.
This is it.
Good music.
It's not some science fantasy effect from 2001. This electronic display emanating from Australia's largest computer is a picture of the condition, past, present and future of planet Earth. The program was originally devised by a scientist working from the Massachusetts Institute of Technology, Jay Forrester. It was developed under the auspices of the Club of Rome by an MIT research team to present a complex model of the world and what we humans are doing to it. The program, called World One, doesn't pretend to be a precise forecast. What it does for the first time in man's history on the planet is to look at the world as one system. It shows that Earth cannot sustain present population and industrial growth for much more than a few decades. It shows that simply cleaning up our car exhausts and making some small effort to limit our families simply isn't enough. It's like an electronic guided tour of our global behaviour since 1900 and where that behaviour will lead us. Well, this is the printed version of what we've just seen on the television screen. What looks at first to be just a maze of computer characteristics is really a system of very simple graphs which project what's going to happen to the planet over the next 150 years if we don't do something drastic to stop it. Down the left-hand side of the graph is the date, 1900, 1940, 1980, 2020, right down to 2060. Now, each of these lines of letters represents a curve showing some aspect of the condition of the planet. The further out this way they go, the greater that figure is. The further this way, the less. For example, P represents population. So here it is at 1900, and then it comes up to 1940. It starts to take off. Here we are at 1980, up to the turn of the century, and then it starts to peter off. Let's now have a look at this next curve, the Q curve, which is the quality of life. And this is represented by, for example, the amount of space people have, the amount of money they have to spend, the amount of food they have to eat. Now, it increases rapidly up to 1940, but from 1940 on, the quality of life diminishes. And here we are about the turn of the century, and we come up to the year 2020, and it's really come right back. More people, of course, means that you start to chew up your supply of natural resources. And this is this curve here, the N curve. And it shows that slowly but steadily, the pool of natural wealth in the world, natural resources, minerals, oil, and so on, is slowly but steadily diminishing. So this is the situation. As population increases, the quality of life decreases, and the supply of natural resources decreases. But have a look at this curve here. This is called the Z curve, and it represents pollution. Now, predictably enough, as the population increases up to 1980, pollution increases. There's more rubbish. But from 1980 to the year 2020, pollution really takes off. This is assuming, of course, that we don't do anything about it. So the year 2020, the condition of the planet starts to become highly critical. And if we don't do anything about it, this is what's going to happen. The quality of life is going to go right back to practically zero. Pollution is going to become so serious, right out here, that it will start to kill people. So the population will diminish. Right back here, less than it was in the year 1900. And at this stage, round about the year 2040, 2050, civilized life as we know it on this planet will cease to exist. Well, hopefully, of course, it won't be allowed to happen. But it's taken this kind of shock treatment to nudge governments into doing something, and slowly we are. We're starting to clean up our atmosphere. We're starting to recycle our rubbish. We're doing something positive about population control. But so far, our efforts have really been just a drop in the ocean. The Club of Rome comprises some 70 men of widely varying backgrounds, but their common concern is that the world problems cannot be solved by individual nations. I spoke with Professor Hugo Thiemann, director of the Battelle Institute Geneva, Dr. Aurelio Pache, founder of the club, and Dr. Alexander King, director of the World Bank and the United Nations OECD. Dr. King, now you're describing the world as a closed system where all these things are interrelated, and yet the government, the control of the system is by individual nation states. Now, how do you convince them to cooperate?
The sovereignty of these nations is no longer as absolute as it was. There's a gradual diminishing, whittling away of sovereignty, little bit by little bit. Especially, of course, in the smaller countries, where it's more obvious. But the bigger countries have to do a good deal of this by agreeing to international arrangements for the law of the seas, or for the limits of fishing, or for control of the wavelengths in radio, and 101 other things. But especially in the technological field, I think, this is going to be increasingly so because of developments next year. I was at an important meeting in Washington a couple of weeks ago, and Peterson, the former Secretary of Commerce, was saying the same thing from an economic point of view, that the general world economic situation, the dependence of countries on their food and fuels and so on, is leading to an interdependence which has seeds of draining away of sovereignty within it. So I don't think one can envisage an idealistic of jumping to a world federalism or anything of that sort. But the building up probably in the next decade in a number of particularly sensitive fields like energy, raw materials, the use of the oceans, space and so on, of a number of what people are tending to call regimes, which will not be ordinary United Nations type of organizations, but semi-management organizations. There'll be a great deal of consent in them.
Dr. Bache views the European Common Market as an elementary example of the kind of regional cooperative which is going to be necessary. What responsibilities does he see for Australia?
Australia, you are in a splendid position.
What should we do?
You have food, energy, space. You are distant from other centers, so you can, for a longer time, feel rather more independent than interdependent. But things of the world are going so fast that I think that an enlightened leadership in Australia should see down the road that Australia will have to lose some of its self-decisions in order to acquire something else which may be purely political in very wide sense, or maybe also security.
The Club of Rome is reluctant to point the finger at any one nation, yet clearly nations like the United States, which consumes approximately 60% of the world's resources, will in the Club's view have to accept a severe cutback in its voracious appetite. But the club's utterances are cloaked in a velvet democracy, in the hope that their facts will gently persuade.
We will ask who is making the decision, and whether the decision makers of today, whether they perceive the problems, what kind of problems, and the interactions of the problems. That's a very pragmatic approach.
Has the time come, Dr. King, when we're going to have to say, we can no longer entrust our resources and the exploitation of those resources to private enterprise. Has the time come when governments will simply have to take more control?
Simple nationalisation and things like that wouldn't help at all, because we've got to keep an incentive approach. And many of the good aspects of private enterprise are very necessary here, but not in the old exploitative way where the market forces dominated the whole situation.
Dr. Pichai, can you tell me what my lifestyle will be in 100 years' time? What sort of car I'll drive, what sort of house I'll live in, what sort of food I'll be eating?
Probably you will have a smaller car. You will use more common transport means. You will work many far less hours. You will have a wider culture, cultural possibilities that today. You will not be so much pressed by immediate needs, because through technology, organization of the markets, the basic needs will be taken care of. And I think that you will love nature and continue then what I think you are doing now, to protect our environment, to avoid this man-made world where the creatures of nature, the animals, the plants, the green spaces, the wildernesses
are bound
to disappear.
To the Club of Rome, the status symbols of the year 2000 will be the inverse of today's. Prestige will stem from low consumption. That personal consumption will have to be less is plain enough, but for that privation to be seen as prestigious would seem to indicate some radical rethinking, at least for the fat cats of the planet.
Awesome. Well done, mate.
Nice.
1973.
Wow.
But the thing that took me...
Basic anti-humanist.
Yeah, you would have to be more, you'll be more cultural. Like, that thing stuck out to me because they've got the mass immigration into Western countries and everything. Like, is that what they mean by more cultural?
I don't know. My work week, is the same. I probably work more than they predicted. So people are, but I have to admit that most people have it pretty damn easy now. So I think it's the total opposite. There's too much bad food. There's people are living pretty well, I would say, compared to then.
No. That was 100%. What, Johnny? That was one of the best. Rollo, that was one of the best wake up calls you're going to get.
Yeah.
As I said, this show.
73.
Yeah. Okay. So this show is on the pointy end of truth. As I keep saying, there's all these other shows that are out there. This show is exposing the real pointy end of truth. And that was fantastic. Absolutely fantastic.
That was good.
That was a good one.
Exactly what's happening. Yep. We're going to... The same plan, Pub of Rome. The best truther in Australian radio, Brian Wilshire, who got sacked and is now a non-entity on air, he doesn't exist. They removed all his shows off the podcast stream. I used to go back and listen to the old shows. They're all gone now. He used to have a guy from... Oh.
Hold on.
You're listening to Rick and Roll.
We interrupt our program to bring you this important message.
This is the Gulo. You're listening to Fakeologist Radio on fakeologist.com.
Indeed you are. Saturday the 10th of July 2021. Yes, you're here with Rick and Rollo. And we're here with Johnny's List, the AB. We're here with Benoit. Is Benoit still here?
He's around.
Yes, he is.
Yeah, that was great. That really was good, Johnny. Johnny, that was
Yes,
fantastic.
I am.
Yeah.
Look,
10 out of 10. Really truth, 10 out of 10 on the truthometer.
Yeah, yeah.
10 out of 10. Just, yeah, good stuff, man.
Just shows you. So I was thinking of this stuff a long time ago.
Oh, yeah, so, man. I've got books.
Rick. Do we need to remove a lot of people from this planet, like Klaus Schwab and Bill Gates?
We need to remove them. We need to remove them. But we don't. But the rest of the public need to understand that the whole lie of overpopulation and everything has just been an absolute farce. The planet is basically empty. Mm-hmm. There's vast areas of beautiful land that's been kept by.
Yeah. Oh yeah, the world is empty.
Canada's empty.
Yeah. World Economic
Maybe
Forum,
parts of Europe have that feeling of being dense because obviously it's a smaller area, it's an older area. But over here North America and probably Australia.
After World War One, it certainly became a lot smaller.
I'm currently on the train in Switzerland and I can see big patch of nature and untouched area. So I'm not of that opinion, but I am of the opinion that it will not be a bad thing to remove half of the population. I mean, all those stupid camps I have to deal with on a daily basis. I mean, remove half of them and I will be happy.
Yeah, that's true.
The age-old adage is, like, it's not up to Anthony Fauci or Gates or Klaus, Satan Klaus. It's if we decide to leave, it's up to us. It's not up to them, but there you go.
I've been...
Do you mind if I go to the blog, bro, because I'm Middle Eastern?
Okay.
Train more coroners, So you've written this. Since doctors aren't busy, I'm sure a day course would get them up to speed on how to be a coroner. Amazing how the ghouls use COVID as an excuse not to autopsy. COVID can be used for anything. So what's this all about? COVID is used to if I jumped off of Stockton Bridge, would I be a COVID death? Is that right?
I can't remember exactly the story. I think it was in Scotland where they were just saying that because so many people were dying, they don't have the resources to do autopsies to see how they died or what they died of, so they just label it COVID. But they blame it on, we just don't have the resources because of COVID to do autopsies, which I thought was absolutely ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. Rick bought his van to pick up dead bodies and nobody's dying. There's nobody dying. There's nobody dying in the streets.
Well, they took down our MASH units. We had two big hospitals in the Toronto area and they put up MASH units. You know, the tents, like on the show MASH,
waiting for that
big wave of deaths. And now they're taking them down. So I figure those tent companies are probably making millions. Just they put them up for nothing, for show, their props, and then they took them all down. They're taking them all down this week. So
I wanted also to say that apparently, I did not verify it from my own eyes, but apparently there are some mobile vaccination team that are moving around in the area of Switzerland I'm living in, like in front of grocery store and everything, and they are more than happy to vaccinate everyone that is willing to have it. I cannot attest for the veracity of it, but it seems to be the case. But also one thing I wanted to mention is that
a worldwide
I'm
thing.
On the train. Yeah, I'm in the train. I'm traveling to the country, but
you got
a pretty good
connection if you're on a moving train. Pretty good connection.
I'm quite surprised that it's not broken. But it's maybe because I'm in quarantine. So allegedly, I'm still where I'm living in Geneva, and I'm not moving. It's just that I choose to say fuck quarantine and see what will happen. But I can be allegedly fine, greatly for that.
Yeah.
Have you got a face mask on? You don't sound like you've got a face mask on. Okay?
No, I have my bandana that I can get on my hands if the people came to check the ticket. But I never wear a mask unless it's really an obligation or if they will not serve me at the shop or whatever. I never wear a mask. To be honest, I tried my best to get COVID since 1 year and a half and absolutely failed on that.
You tried your best to get non-disease. It's scandemic, casedemic, we know it. It's completely fake. It's like, you can't catch a virus.com. Okay, let's go to the next blog post. Best wisdom from the black. When it comes to recognizing oppression and freedom, this sample proves that blacks have an innate ability to smell a hoax style. The non-blacks are clueless. So what's this about, Ab?
Oh, it's a pretty good man on the street video compilation where they're just asking what these people think of the quaxine passport. The quaxine passport is coming to Quebec, the French-speaking province and the most left-wing authoritarian government in Canada. There's quaxine passport starting September 1st. So there you go. And the black people in this interview, they think it's a bad idea. and the smartest guy is an old Jamaican guy who's saying this is all scam and the government. He's got the whole thing down pat in so many words. So,
yeah.
But the white people are completely clueless. They think, oh, it's a great thing, and listening to this white girl spout off about how it's a great thing that unvaccinated people are dangerous, and oh my goodness.
Yeah, they're on TikTok doing all the, yeah, I know, it's crazy. Okay, so the next one is Q is Operation Trust. Now, Operation Trust was a counterintelligence operation of the state political directorate, GPU of the Soviet Union. The operation was set up by GPU's predecessor, Cheka, ran from 1921 to 1926, set up as a fake anti-Bolshevik resistance organization, in quotes, Monarchist Union of Central Russia. So why'd you post this? Like, what's this all about?
I got that off IPS. You got to listen to IPS. He's got great men. Analysis, and basically he was just illustrating that the Q psyop was to corral all the disbelievers into an area and send them into La La Land, make them look crazy, make them look stupid. And, you know, even my mother asked me, do I believe in Q? So that's how they bring the conspiracy crowd to the normies and show them these guys are nuts, don't go there. So it's definitely controlled opposition. It's definitely a psyop,
yeah.
And that's the point.
Yeah,
cute. IPS vaccines aren't dangerous.
That's right, John.
Say again.
I'm saying, IPS, he says that vaccines, the anti-vaxxers, the vaxophobics, he sort of kind of promotes that vaccines aren't that bad. Like, I mean, I like IPS.
Yeah,
so
well, Simon Shackman.
He promotes that vaccines aren't that bad. Like, he's been vaccinated all these times and in the army and nothing's happened to him and, you know, like, don't get me wrong, I listen to IPS all the time. Like, he does some good work. I just find the vaccine part. You're trying to say that nobody's been harmed by a vaccine? Like, the vaxophobes are...
Well...
He correlates the vaxophobes with the Q people. Like.
Well, I don't know if he's correlated with the Q people, but he does have a point where we, on our side, are not afraid of the virus, but we are afraid of the quaxine. So he's saying, why would you believe one story and not the other? So there's a point to it, but I still think that injecting proteins into the bloodstream is a really bad idea. So there's just nothing good that can come of it.
He's anti being forced to do all that sort of stuff, definitely. Like, I just find it curious to say that, you know, the vaxophobes are, yeah.
Well, he says the only thing that's true is it's created a schism in society, which is totally true. They've created a great division between two groups of people, those that believe it and those that don't, and that is very true.
Yeah, it's the Hegelian...
They don't really need to create the schism because 90% of the people believe that vaccines... There's only the anti-vaccine people and the people who think that the virus is fake is a very small percentage. The pro-vaccine people, they've already got that market. They brainwashed enough people. I see it in my daily life.
I like to call myself organic. I'm part of the organic community.
Yeah, but I'm talking about IPS. Well, they don't need to create that division because the majority believes in vaccines, so... Yeah, I just find him a bit sort of, yeah. I mean, I'm not an expert on IPS. He might have an ulterior motive because he's a smart guy and he's very good at what he does.
Yes, he is.
So, yeah.
I think so. It's hard. It's a tough one to call. I still think that the quaxines are toxic and they're not good for us. They might not do anything to most people.
Yeah.
I've met two people in the last week that got their second dose and they were knocked down flat on their back.
Yeah.
Chills. They couldn't get warm. You know, just basically they were poisoned for a couple of days. Now, whether it has any long-term effects, we'll have to see.
The young guy that I work with... The young guy that I work with, his dad, his father's boss, his father's boss has had it, and he's been crook as a dog since he's had it. And the young guy that I work with, his dad is still, like, going to take it, and his mum are pushing him to have it. Even though his dad's boss has been sick ever since he's had the vaccine, they're still like, nah, you've got to get it. We're getting it. You've got to get it. It just blows my fucking mind.
blows my mind.
It does.
It's so unnatural to get a hypodermic needle stuck into you. It's so unnatural. Like, God damn it. Can't you see how unnatural that is?
Yeah, you're breaking the skin every single time.
The whole peanut protein thing makes so much sense. Like, you know, with the peanut allergy. Like, absolutely. Because your body does become... It's like when you get an infection or whatever and you get the autoimmune diseases. Like, so you get an infection and it creates an autoimmune disease, like, on that. And it's almost like with the peanut proteins, you're creating some sort of autoimmune reaction or something. You know, your body, yeah.
There was a guy called Dr., what was his name? Andrew Blaylock. And the blood brain, like, once you inject that thing in, it's just screwed up. And there was another book I read. What was it one? The one, the MMR virus. It was called, what was his name? He was a wonderful guy. He was on
Andrew Wakefield.
Andrew Wakefield, yeah. He wrote a book called, now what was the book called? Do you remember that?
Andrew Wakefield, he's against the MMR, which is a triple vaccine, but he's still pro-vax. Makes no sense.
Yeah, I know. That's the troubling part with him, yeah. But
so that makes him controlled opposition. Sorry.
Yeah, all right.
Is there such thing as a safe vaccine?
One thing that has to be mentioned is that I am the living proof that vaccines are dangerous, because if you inject me with any type of vaccine that is containing mercury, I would just be unable to breathe. So obviously, it's not good for the human.
And then when they put a face mask on you, you can't breathe. And then they put a face mask on you, is that double down? Okay, just before I
but
go.
But are all vaccines created equally? That's the question.
Yeah.
I think it's just
experimenting.
I did my research, and each and every one of them is containing mercury. So obviously, the last time I was vaccinated, I was 20, and I was sick for a few days. Not the worst ever, but I mean, I never tried again after.
I believe
No more vaccines for you, right?
Mercury is related to the autism, but I can't prove that, but yeah.
Yes, and I'm quite autistic, so that's probably why I'm allergic.
No, you're not. you're just French, aren't you?
I think that
being French is not a disease.
No, but I'm French.
I'm French ancestry, but anyway.
All right, should we believe the numbers? So numbers lie, but these may be real. So there are 2.8 million more disabled workers than 6 months ago. The very reasonable question Cole Denninger is asking is this, in quotes, what is happening in January that could have rendered many workers able to unwork? So I personally know two co-workers, this is you, Mark, that got knocked flat on their backs from the second quack. Who knows what the long-term effects will be?
I was just reiterating. Well, they were talking about the jobs. Apparently there's millions of unfilled jobs in the United States now I think there's many reasons why, but one of the big reasons could be from the vaccinations. But I think the other reason is once you get people used to the idea that they don't probably have to work and they can probably survive on government benefits, they're going to do it. And so the low-end jobs that they close down, like dining and gyms, they're being really hard to fill. Like, restaurants are opening up, but they can only open up part way because they can't find anyone to do the work, do the short order cooks, the wait staff, the busing, all those low-end jobs that they shut down for a year. Getting really hard to get these people back to work when they've enjoyed not working.
Yeah.
I'll tell you one thing, if I take a few days off, I can really get used to not working myself. Now, I don't do that.
I've got very used to it. Yeah.
I know you are.
We are getting absolutely flooded with Indians in South Australia and even up in the country town. I think they're replacing, like you said, people are getting not used to working.
No,
they've been putting them on the dole and everything, and now they've got, they're replacing.
They're not just
taking the jobs. They're buying businesses like you could not believe. They bought all the restaurants in the town. The motel, the service station. It's like, and they're obviously getting help to do that, but it's a replacement type of thing. So you're going to end up with all these people that already are here, like you said, not working. They've been
put on welfare for the last 12, 18 months, 2 years, like UBI, Universal Basic Income. I don't know, but they're replacing them for some reason. Yeah. But he did say, when you listen to him, that guy from the Club of Rome said in that piece before, you'll become more cultural. So he's obviously a
I don't know what
agenda.
That means. That doesn't mean anything to me.
No, yeah, but it could mean you'll become more cultural. Like, you're going to become more, you're not going to have your own culture. You're going to become more cultural, other people's culture.
I just have to look around me, and I quite understand what they were meaning, to be honest.
Yeah, I can imagine you would.
Probably,
in Europe.
I'm probably living in one of the more culturally replaced countries in the world.
Yeah.
It's really
Ben, you're living in elite land where the elite live. And even our elite here have bought properties in fucking Switzerland. I kid you not.
Yes, let me tell you, you never will get to interact with those people. I mean, on the lower strata
of
society, it's completely replaced. It's not that I care really, because whatever, but it's full of strangers and there is absolutely no social order or anything. I mean, just when I was at the train station in Geneva, it was like 9 in the morning. And I have half of Romania around me. And it was just in the morning in the city of Geneva. So, yeah. It's like...
Well, Romanians are mainly white, though, aren't they? How do you know the Romanians?
Not the...
Rick and Rollo.
Rick and Rollo.
I'm Del Qua.
Dave
Jones,
Cody from Memphis.
Silver Bay.
Chris from
You are listening to Fakeologist Radio.
Fakeologist.com. Now, there's some legends.
Thank you, Melissa, that. Keep going, guys.
So Romanians are gypsies?
No, Romani gypsies.
The ethnic Romanian people that are European like me, or almost, and there is a gypsy type that are a little bit more tan-skinned. But even if they were white, I mean, just locate a cluster of people doing absolutely nothing, dressed like sheep, begging on the street, and that would be them.
Wow.
I remember when I was in Europe 20 years ago, in Turkey and Ireland and places, yeah, there are a lot of gypsies, Romanian gypsies around the place. But they've been culturally a bit of a thing for a long time, haven't they? Like the gypsies. But it's just harder in the modern world, I guess.
Yes, but it's... I will be perfectly honest on that. This is the cancer of society as far as I'm concerned. Because you got those people that are doing absolutely nothing.
Yeah.
They are disgusting.
Once upon a time they lived on the fringe of society or in the country or whatever now. Because we've all been pushed into the cities. Like everything's, in the cities.
Next time I come across them, I will take a picture. But it's like you get this alignment of mattresses on the ground and those people
try
to integrate, to even live normally or whatever. So like I said, they are the cancer of society. As much as I like freedom and I like an alternative lifestyle, those people...
They've got a real bad name.
Go back to their...
They've got a real bad name. Every time anyone I knew got robbed in Europe, it was gypsies doing it every single time. And I said to them, they were gypsies. Yeah, robbing it. And they're over here running scams for roofing and driveways. So they turn up and they go to people and go, we'll task seal your driveway, do this thing, or we'll paint your roof. And they get up, they do fucking nothing, and they charge $30,000, get the money from old people, usually, and then they take off. And this has been going on for years. It's the same as Irish gypsies, and mainly Irish gypsies actually are the biggest scammers here, but they're the same breed. They're absolutely
It's funny to say that when I was in Ireland, that's where I saw them, and they had the parking bays, and they had these boom gates go across the parking bays where a car could get under, but a caravan wouldn't. But they'd still get the caravans in there, and they'd get the caravans in the parking bays, take the wheels off so that the people from the government couldn't come and tie them away. There'd be kids running around everywhere,
everywhere.
When I was in England, hey guys, when I was in England, like the gypsies would come up and just ask for £2. I go, why ask for £2? Ask for 20 quid, you know, and that way I'll give you a couple of bottles of champagne and, you know, why £2?
So I think that the gypsies are part of the people that can be eliminated without me having any issue about it.
Get them vaccinated. We want the gypsies all vaccinated for free.
At least three different shots.
Vaccinated, yeah. And neutered, if possible.
I'm a cat.
Peaky Blinders. Blinders. The gypsies are in there for the TV series. Peaky Blinders.
All right, here we go. Anti Quacks playbook. Here we go, Ab. So don't look if you don't want to be disturbed by Big Hammer's war plan. So what's this about, Ab?
Delivering some tissues to a cop.
So it begins. The most left province of Canada, the socialist, compassionate, authoritarian government.
Quebec.
The first Quebec. North Americans to bring two of their two-tier system of citizens. So, yeah, so replace if with when. If with when. Yeah, so I'm sure he's talking about the vaccine passport with the QR codes.
It's Quebec. Quebec, that's coming in September. Be warned. So anyway, I'll just change the subject. A good mate of mine just called, and he's up in the South Coast. He said they walked into Woolworths up there in the middle of fucking nowhere, and they got chased by the security staff. But it was the public that was the ones that were complaining, going, "They've got no masks. They've got no masks." You know, they were doing This is a good mate of mine who we've been mates for years. He's fucking 100% right on the ball, you know, like, and he just said they came after his wife, so he just kept walking and went in there and did the shopping, but the security guard came up to them and said, "Look, just if you get harassed like that again, come and see me." So the in-house security were protecting people without masks because they know that they are doing it illegally. But it was the public that was freaking out. The public were freaking out. Yeah. This is going to happen. That's what I keep saying. You need real friends. You need because your next door neighbour will be dobbing you in too.
This is communism.
It's Eastern Germany. Communism.
Communitarianism. Let's give it a new name.
Communism is. It was always based on the people snitching on the.
Apparently his wife, the security guard came up to his wife after and said, "Look, if anyone does that again, come and see me." So obviously the corporate security know they're breaking the law, but it's not the public you've got to watch out for, and your next door neighbour. That's why I'm telling you now, I'm driving. I don't even drive out my gate the normal way. I actually go a different way because I suspect my next door neighbours will be that know where I, you know, come and go from, will report me eventually. So I don't even want them to see me driving out of my driveway. And let me tell you, God rewarded me because I drove up a different way tonight, and out the front of a house was a whole lot of expensive weights. Like I got 102 kilos worth of weights for free tonight because I drove a different way. And Listen, I love my van. Let me.
It's a pretty good van.
Fucking awesome, man. And they drive because it's diesel. So you put your foot down and you don't even rev it. It doesn't ever go past 2 on the revometer.
These are low end torque.
Diesels will be banned in the future.
You have to keep up on those. Make sure you keep up with the services.
I'm taking it in next week. I've always done that.
Mate who's a mechanic and a few of those Hyundai vans are in there with fucked motors and that.
But you know what you do? I can get a whole brand new motor for one of them because the wreckers have got them everywhere. So fuck all.
He said when people just drive them and don't service them, so they'll go 20,000 over their service and then the motor's fucked. Because diesel runs on the oil of the motor and everything. I deliberately didn't buy a turbo diesel
because I've heard that story. I just got a regular diesel.
It's a straight diesel. Oh, that thing will fucking go forever. You'll be right.
I mean, 100,000 Ks when I bought it, but I'm doing 1,000 a week.
Non-turbo diesels go for ages, mate. Oh. They're just fucking unreal.
You're killing it, Rick.
He is.
Yeah, but I drive. I'm a really good driver.
They're going to ban diesel soon.
Yeah, I think they will try and ban diesels. Yes, I agree.
But all the new four-wheel drives with this and everything coming out all petrol. They're not going to be. They're going to get rid of the diesel four-wheel drives and everything. So I'm assuming they're
all combustible.
Yeah, but
they want all
combustible. If you ban
diesel in this country, because as you know, we drive, like, I'm not a big driver, I'm driving 1,000 k's a week. That is normal here, and everyone's got diesels. If they banned it, I don't think they'd do it for a while. They might
try
it later.
No, they can't do it. Because in Europe, they could, because of small countries, but it is going to be different here, because we are, a big... Listening to that conspiracy, Oz
Canada
and
Australia.
Guy.
Yeah. Okay, he's good.
You got me on
America.
Yeah, he was talking a while back.
America's wide open, too.
Yeah, as I say. Yeah. But he was talking about, because I don't watch the news, but South Australia's doing the big push for electric cars and everything. We're going to be the electric. Yeah. But I agree with you. It's not going to work in the country. It's not. We are far too big a country, and they're not going to do it for a long time.
Well, everyone's got a diesel here where I am. Everyone drives diesel because it's $1.45, and the petrol's gone up to. For even the cheapest petrol is $1.80 or $1.70 or something ridiculous.
I've paid it yesterday, and that was $1.44.
That's all tax because gas is a worldwide commodity.
I can't get over the same everywhere
in the world.
I can't get over what you pay for natural gas. $10 a month for natural gas. Like, I can't believe it. Like, obviously, you got all your fees and everything was $50 or whatever, but the actual gas usage was $10.
Because of fracking. There's we got tons of gas here. They don't want that.
We've got gas out of our asses in this country, and they're selling it to China for 1 cent a litre. Yet we have to pay a dollar something or other.
When I was in Adelaide, I had gas hot water, gas cooking, gas heating in winter. We're talking 5 years ago. 4 or 5 years ago, I'd be $600 a quarter. So you're talking $150 a month for my gas consumption. That's
$10
a month.
Yeah, it's brilliant. It's a good price. But I think Canada's being really smashed for their resources. You're not allowed to go and pick up timber and burn a fire in Canada in certain areas, as far as I was aware.
I don't know anyone, I don't know if that's true.
In Australia, you're not allowed to pick timber up off the side of the road. That's been illegal
for quite a while. Because I mean, if I wanted to, I could just.
Hey guys, I'm heading out.
I'm just easy
peasy Japanesey tonight. And so taking it easy.
Ab, you weren't here when I read this. Okay, the most left province of Canada, the socialist, compassionate, the authoritarian, what's this? About the government in North America to bring the two-tier systems, replace with when.
What do you want of it?
Replace with when.
The vaccine passports.
Yeah, for sure.
They said they'll bring them in if it's necessary in September.
It's not if, it's when.
Yeah,
for sure. Absolutely for sure. And they love September, don't they? They think it's so good. It's got to be the ninth.
It's a new season. It's sort of like it's New Year's Day for so many people, September.
Well, we're in 7-Eleven tomorrow, which is the inverse of the...
What do you think's going to happen? Cyber Polygon.
What about the Sacrifice of the Virgin, if Richard Branson's pretend rocket that goes to space blows up with him in it? Sacrifice of the Virgin.
I can tell it's captured the imagination of my nephew, because he said, who do you think will be in space first, Bezos or Branson? Then I had to go look it up. Yeah, they're propagandizing
I'd say Bezos will succeed and Branson, the Virgin, will go south.
possibly. But, I don't know.
But I didn't have the I didn't want to bring it up that space is fake. It's all BS because I didn't really want to give the counter argument because my sister was there. So my nephew, I didn't want to. Didn't feel like starting anything. But yeah, it's all BS. But
isn't the way we have to be?
We have to muzzle. We have to. Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's all BS.
I agree.
July is go to the moon month. This is the month they do it.
Oh, yeah, it certainly is. And I must say again, IPS, I've got to say, I really love.
The good callers.
The new IPS.
The good callers.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
IPS is good. He's doing some good work.
Yeah.
That's for sure.
Yeah.
He
wouldn't agree with that one. But anyway, I'm going to go, guys. But
Thank you, Rick.
And
don't forget to do
Johnny,
a special show.
I will. And Johnny, that was awesome. The show you downloaded.
Yeah, I recommend actually watching it, because you can see the people and the guy, the Klaus Schwab relative.
Okay, so if I go on to
Alexander King,
I'll find it.
It's in the show notes. I put it on FakeOtube
while we were talking.
Yeah.
Excellent. Right. I'll be sharing that right now.
Coming up to a million views.
Good night.
Fantastic. See you guys.
Good night, Rolls Royce Radio.
I'm going to have to shoot off as well because I've got 7:30 here Saturday night. And I've got people here ringing me to go around and have a beer.
Well,
so I'm going to do that.
Oh, well, enjoy. Go see real people.
I know. Exactly right. I've met a couple of real people in the little country town I live in. So, and they're actually quite open to, they're not on board with the whole, you know, where I am, but they're very, they know something's up. So I had the chance of converting some decent people. So. But anyway,
sign them up for Fakeologist and all that stuff. Thank you, Johnny Bliss. Welcome back.
I'll let them know. So yeah, I'm going to head around there as well. So and do that. But no, it's been great chatting, and we might chat next Sunday. It was a good
show on radio. The best show not on radio.
No, pretty much. But
take care.
We'll work on that. All right. See ya.
All the best. Bye.
You're listening to another hour of Fakeologist Radio on Fakeologist.com.
Don't you slip up or play the fool.
Oh no more, oh no da, I'll be your golden boy. I will obey every golden rule.
You're told by the teacher not to take me. And told by my mother.
Gonna play cricket this year, then are you, John?
Nah.
Well, you sure are a funny kid, Sonny.
But I like you.
So tell me, what kind of boy are you, John?
I only like dreaming all the day long, and no one.
That's all, folks.